it's not Man in the Middle. That's what actually makes it more scary or more worrying than things that we've seen in the past. It doesn't require you to man in the middle at all. All you have to do is interrogate or start a conversation with a vulnerable server, and you can pull data out of that server's memory that other people had put there, so to speak.
So basically what you're doing is you're interrogating the server and you're using that to be able to get into the server, and then you can extract data rather than impugning the communications between an individual.
What it is is with OpenSSL, with a particular extension called Heartbeat, you can regularly send a message to an OpenSSL server called a Heartbeat message, which is designed to make sure the connection stays open and to make it take less computer effort to do the cryptography required to keep this connection secure. As part of that request, you can request a certain amount of data to be sent back to you. I saw a great XKCD cartoon a couple of days ago that it went like something like this. Computer, are you there? If you're there, send back the word dog, three letters. And the computer would send back the word dog. And then it would say, computer, are you there? If you're there, send back the word tree, four letters. And it would send back the word tree. And then it said, computer, are you there? If you're there, send back the word car, 64 letters. And it would send back the word car and another 61 letters that happened to be in the memory directly after that car. And that's what happens. And that's how you can get it to give you back data from the memory, which is not data that you put there, because it doesn't check the limits that are requested by the client.
So it's giving you data at random. So obviously if you make a request for a large amount of data, you get a large chunk of data back from the memory.
Yeah, other people's data, not data that's part of your conversation.
Yeah. So if it's doing, essentially, if you say, I want, you know, car and 10,000, whatever, blah, blah, then you get that. And it's at random. You look through that to see what data you've got that's useful.
Yeah, it's, the maximum you can request is 64K. So that's 64,000 bytes.
Okay. Good. All right. All right, well, now I understand. So, the memory that it's taking on the server, what memory is that? It's not a database memory, is it?
No, it's memory which is used by the cryptographic process of OpenSSL. So it's only going to contain data which is being passed back and forth in conversations that are supposed to be encrypted. So very likely to include things like passwords. And it has since been demonstrated, also even the private key of the server itself. If you spend enough time making enough requests, you can reconstruct the private key of a server. If you have that, it means you can decrypt any conversation at will that anyone is having with that server. It also means you can impersonate that server.
Whose responsibility is this? I mean, if this has been written in a way that perhaps is not as elegant or as well finished as it could have been, who was responsible for doing that?
Yeah, you know what? It's not even that it wasn't elegant or well finished. It was simply wrong. It was done wrong and it was done badly. But it was an oversight. Obviously nothing malicious or deliberate. OpenSSL is free and open source software. That's why it's used by so many people in so many different ways. However, it's even though it's so important, globally important to encrypted communication and encrypted traffic, it's only got about four people responsible for developing it. And it's extremely underfunded when compared to other software. So for a mistake like this to be made is not surprising.
But it does raise an important issue, doesn't it? And that important issue is, as you say, it's free and it's open source. And people do have a tendency with the internet to actually get things that are free. And they want things that are free because they're not paying for them.
Yeah, not only that, but obviously a lot of commercial organizations will take free libraries and free code such as this and incorporate it into commercial products. That's entirely normal practice, and that's why, you know, it's out there affecting so many servers. Because, for example, it's incorporated into Apache, which is one of the most widespread web server software out there.
Doesn't this raise another issue then? And that issue is that with some bits of software that are going to operate in certain places, that really there should be some almost software registration authority that these people have to submit this software to and say, is this software okay, before it's actually rolled out or allowed to be rolled out in this way.
Yes, certainly that's a conversation which has started in the wake of this vulnerability, this bug, and there are some very high level people very interested in finding out exactly what can be done in future to make sure code of this nature is more thoroughly audited before it becomes part of the official build.